This is our third and final talk this week about who do you think you are? Okay, so the very first week we talked about King Saul's grandson, a man called Mephibosheth. And he was living in a town called Lodabar, and that was a place of poverty and lack, and that's how he was living. He was living in poverty without realizing it. Mephibosheth didn't know who he was, and he says clearly that he thought of himself as a dead dog. That was his self-image. So even the testimony we've heard today, we're going around thinking of ourselves in ways that have been spoken over us 25 years ago, and we're still carrying it today, and he was still carrying that, but God changed his image. Then last week, we looked at Jeremiah, and he didn't believe what God said about him either. He was another person with a poor self-image. And I said last week, don't let the opinion of others matter more to you than the opinion of God. It has to be God's opinion that matters the most. So this week, we're just going to finish off by looking at our self-image and the thoughts we have about ourselves. Many heroes of the Bible started off with a very poor self-image. Moses was a murderer with a speech impediment. He couldn't go and do what God asked him to do without his big brother. He said, well, send Aaron with me, my big brother. So he needed help with that. Gideon was a man who was hiding in fear of the enemy and thought of himself as the least in his family. Peter was a poor fisherman who denied Jesus three times and thought, that's it, I've totally blown it. Mary was unmarried and pregnant, and Rahab was a prostitute. That's just to name a few of the people in the Bible that God used. The Bible is an endless list of people who didn't have much, didn't know much, and couldn't do much on their own, and were considered a nobody by world standards. But God had a different image of them. Their image was poor, but God had a strong image of them. So my very first revelation is this. If we want to know who we are, we must see ourselves as God sees us. We're not this person that someone else has spoken over us years and years and years ago. We're a child of God, and we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Here's how God sees us. It's Philippians 4 and verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate, think on these things. And another translation says, fix your minds on them. This is what God sees when he looks at you. He sees what's true and what's just and what's pure and lovely and good. He sees all the good things. And God wants you to fix your mind on the good things in your life. Maybe even make a list of them. This is a whole list of things that God's saying. You need to look at these things, Sandra, when you're having a bad day. So sometimes we need to make a list of all the things that we need to thank God for, all of the good things. But often we don't look at the good things. We focus on the bad things. Just one little negative thing needs to happen. And that's what we'll focus on all day. In my daily reading, I read this statistic that it takes 12 compliments to cancel the effect of one criticism. There's 12 to 1. You only need to go into a work appraisal situation, and they might tell you 5 things. 4 of them might be good, and 1 might be a little bit negative. What's the one you'll remember the most? You'll come out with the negative for sure, okay? Most people focus on the negatives, but God focuses on the good. He's not up in heaven writing down everything that we've ever done wrong. He doesn't have a naughty list. He's not Santa, okay? He's our Savior who loves us. So I want you to turn to someone today and say, I'm on God's good list. Okay, we're on God's good list. He writes good things about us. He's not like that person that we grew up with, our friend that turned against us, or the family member that we're just criticizing all the time. This is what it says in Proverbs 23, verse 7. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. So my first question today is, what are you thinking in your heart about yourself? Who do you think you are on the inside? Because what you think affects your past, your present, and your future, for good or bad. Positive thoughts affect us positively, but negative thoughts can destroy you. Negative thoughts are horrendous, and we need to arrest them in our mind the minute we realize that we're going down a wrong road. So here's my next revelation. What you're thinking right now is what you're in danger of becoming. What we're thinking right now, if it's a negative thing about ourselves or our lives or our situation, that's what we're in danger of becoming. We need to think on the good things, you know, that God's there and he knows exactly what we're going through. I had this quote the very first week, but it's such a good quote, it's worth repeating. And this was an author, James Allen, who wrote this. All that a man achieves or fails to achieve is a direct result of his thoughts. Not of his bank balance, okay? Not of how many friends he's got on Facebook or Twitter or any of these things, how many likes he gets that week, but it's a direct result of his thoughts. And it's not just some things. It doesn't say some things that you achieve or fail. Well, you'll achieve or fail. It says all that you achieve or fail to achieve is a result of your thoughts. So what thoughts are you choosing? Because you do have a choice. Are we choosing negative thoughts this week? This isn't going to work out for me. This is never going to happen. I don't know what to do here. Are we choosing negative thoughts or are we choosing to trust God? Because you do have a choice. You might say, well, I didn't think I had a choice in what entered my mind. Well, that might be true. Thoughts flash into our mind, but we have a choice as to what we do with them. You know, you can't stop the birds from flying overhead, but you can stop them from building a nest in your hair. You can't stop negative thoughts entering your mind, but you can evict them when they do. We can kick them out the minute they enter our head. Now, I've used this example before, but it's such a good example. You know, you come home from work, you've had a busy day, you've been out doing whatever, and you come in, and there's someone you don't know sitting on your couch. You don't know this person. And they're sitting there, and they've got your favourite mug in one hand and your Christmas chocolates in the other, and they're working their way through them, flicking through the channels. Not only that, they've brought the kids and a dog. So the dog's running round, the kids are trashing your furniture and all your ornaments, and this person is sitting there, and it is obvious to the world that they are a squatter. They're there illegally. They are squatting in your home. You would evict them. You would not even think twice about it. You would go and you would immediately kick them out and say, you can't stay here. I've not given you permission to come in. Well, we need to treat our thoughts the exact same way as we would someone, a squatter, that's damaging our life. If they're not from God, then they're there illegally, and we need to kick them out and don't let them mill around and around in our mind all day. Don't let them stay. Kick them out. Don't choose the wrong thoughts. So here is my next revelation. If we don't choose our thoughts, someone else will choose them for us. We don't choose our thoughts, the boss at work is going to choose them and speak them over us. If we don't choose our thoughts, that relative that really ticks you off, they're going to choose them for you. We need to choose our thoughts, or someone else is going to be in our head from morning till night saying, you've not done this enough, and you've not done that enough, or you spoke too much there, or not enough. It's all of these things. If we don't choose our thoughts, then something or someone else is choosing them, and we're letting them stay. We're letting the negative thoughts stay, just like a squatter. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be controlled by someone else's words in my head. I want my thoughts to be chosen by me, and I want to be in control of them. We had something happen in the family just this week, and it was a negative thing. I don't want to give any details away, but it was a very negative thing. So at night, I was just trying to get to sleep, but all the negatives were going through my head. They were just going round and round in my head. And I said to Neil, just pray for me because my head's going round and round with all the negatives and all sorts of guilt, condemnation, whatever it was going through my mind. So Neil said a really simple prayer, because usually his prayers are short and sweet and straight to the point. And he actually, but this time he quoted a scripture, and he doesn't normally do that. So he quoted a scripture, and I went, oh, I'm preaching on that on Sunday. And the scripture that he said, just pray for Sandra and that you'll settle her thoughts, Lord. And I just pray right now that she'll think about whatever's true and whatever's good and whatever's lovely. And the specific thing he said, and what's of good report. And that really spoke to me. Because I was thinking of a negative report, but we've been given a good report. The doctor had given a good report into the situation. And so I just thought, oh, I'm only going to have the good report. So I just started saying, thank you, Father God, I've been given a good report. Well, it wasn't me personally, the family member. They were given a good report. So I'm just going to stand on that. And I'm going to evict all of these squatter thoughts that are going through my head and stopping me going to sleep, because I was given, or the family were given, a good report. So we need to focus on the good report sometimes. Here's what Joyce Meyer says when she's talking about the enemy. He usually wants people to think they are unhappy due to what is going on around them, their circumstances, but the misery is actually due to what is going on inside them, their thoughts. That's how we think about it. Often we blame other people for how we feel or what we're thinking, but actually the only person living inside our head is us. The only person you can change is you. So maybe it's time to stop trying to change them, because they're never going to change. You know, it's almost impossible to change them. We just need to change us. Changing our life starts with changing our thoughts, not the other person. We need to stop and think about what we're thinking about. You know, if your mood and how you're feeling is going down and down and downhill rapidly, you think, I'm going on a downhill spiral today, then you need to stop and evaluate, what am I actually thinking about? What are the negative thoughts that I need to kick out, so, and just focus on the good report? Because the direction of our thoughts is the direction of our life, and it can be a downward spiral. If we're full of wrong thoughts, we're heading in the wrong direction. So just going to take a quick look at someone in the Bible from the Old Testament whose life was going in a downhill spiral. And his name was Gideon. So I'm just going to read one scripture from Gideon at the moment. And Gideon's self-image was not good. It was like Mephibosheth, it wasn't good. It was like Jeremiah, it wasn't good. This is in Judges 6 and verse 15. And Gideon says this about himself. Behold, my clan is the poorest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. So that means he was the least of the least. His whole family clan were the poorest, and he was the least in that family. And sometimes we can grow up with a self-image like that. I'm the youngest, I'm the least. I grew up thinking, well, I'm the youngest. I can't do what others can do. I can't spell the way they can spell. My handwriting's not as good as them. But I was years younger. But I grew up with a negative self-image because I thought I'm not as good as the older people in my family. So Gideon's self-image was poorest and least. He focused on what he wasn't. He focused on what he didn't have. He didn't focus on what he did have. He forgot, in fact, what he did have. And what he had was God. Everyone in this room has got God to help us face things. And I want us to note this, that whatever you're going through, you've always got God. Always. He's there with us. So here's my next question. What are you focused on? What you don't have or what you do have? We need to write a list. Sometimes we just focus on, I don't have this, I don't have this, I don't have this. But we need to focus on what we do have. Because what we focus on is the direction our life is taking us in. I remember when Neil and I were first married, we had very little money. We were in rented accommodation and we were on unemployment benefit. And I remember one night, we almost had no food for tea that night. So we opened the fridge and said, well, what are we going to have for tea? And I think we'd had boiled eggs and toast for lunch or something. And we had a tin of beans. There was beans and toast for tea. Yummy, fantastic tea. But we didn't, we just laughed about it because we didn't focus on what we didn't have. We didn't have a roast chicken, but we had some food. So let's focus on what we do have. You know, we've got beans on toast for tea tonight. And I think there was still maybe one more day to go before we got our unemployment benefit. But it really pays to focus on what you do have because God knows our need. And then that was on the Thursday, I think. And on the Friday night, there was a knock at the door of our little unit. And a lady from the church was standing, single mom with five children. And she's standing there. And we didn't know her very well because we hadn't lived there for very long. But we'd helped move house. We were unemployed and she was moving house. We went, oh, we can help carry furniture. You know, so we did that. So she's standing on the doorstep with this bag in her hand. And she went, my brother's fishing boat just came in. Here's from fresh fish. It's a whole bag of fish. There must have been about 10 pieces of fish in there. There's enough for 5 meals. Thank you so much for helping me move. Here's some fish. So God provides. And then the phone rang the exact same night, and it was Maureen from the church. And we'd already been told that if you get invited to Maureen's, don't eat all day because she puts on a feast. And Maureen said, do you want to come for your tea on Saturday night? So Friday night was fish, that was scripturally. Saturday night was a feast at Maureen's house. God provided. I don't even know if we needed to open the tin of beans or not, I can't remember. But God provided for us. But we need to look on the positives and not the negatives, because the direction of your thoughts is the direction of your life. So Joyce Meyer has a famous quote, where the mind goes, the man follows. Our mind is the one leading us and our body is just following on. So are you happy with the thoughts that you've been following this week? Are you happy with the thoughts you've been following so far this year? So we looked at Gideon's self-image, that he was the poorest and the least. But here's God's image of Gideon in the exact same chapter, Judges chapter 6. And verse 12, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of fearless courage. He didn't say, the Lord is with you, you poor, useless, least creature. He said, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of fearless courage. But Gideon didn't feel fearless or courageous. Quite the opposite. He was frightened. He was so scared. He was hiding from the enemy. Why did he do that? Because he didn't know who he was. He didn't have that positive list in front of him. He didn't see himself as God saw him. He had a poor self-image. This was a wake-up call from God for Gideon to see himself through God's eyes. He said, Gideon, you need to see yourself as a mighty man of fearless courage, and I can use you. You know, I think most of us need a wake-up call. So here's a prophetic word for someone here today, and it might be a wake-up call for all of us, but I felt God saying to tell you this today, you are beautiful in my eyes, but you don't know it. You don't know it. We're going around with a self-image like Gideon did, and we don't know how God sees us. Our thoughts are the problem. They're at the root of everything we say or do. The more we think on something, the more it becomes a stronghold in our life. Thinking fearful thoughts will create a stronghold of fear. We already heard today that someone had a stronghold of fear in their life for about 25 years or more, and it's now broken. It's wonderful. Thinking that we're rejected creates a stronghold of rejection. It's not rocket science. Whatever that recurring emotion is the attack on our life. If it's depression, then a stronghold of depression is attacking us. And a stronghold is where the enemy comes and he sets up camp. And he wants to live there in our life as a squatter on our couch. And we can't let him do that. I don't think anyone wants to have a stronghold where the enemy can live. So I'm going to pray right now that God gives us a revelation if we've got any strongholds in our lives. Father, we just come in Jesus' name, and we just thank you, Lord, you are able to show us. Just in the same way you were able to show that person earlier today that their memory was from 5 years of age. It was spoken over their life to be fearful of doctors and medication. Lord, show every one of us right now, if there's a stronghold in our life that we need to break, if there's something that's been spoken over us or done to us that we need to break off because it's just there in the background all the time, just sitting on the couch, and we can't get rid of it. So give us revelation, Father, so we can ask you to set us free in Jesus' name. Amen. Folks, my next prophetic word for us today is this: it's time to bring down the strongholds. If something's been there for 5 minutes or 5 decades, it's time it came down. Don't let it stay any longer. And how do we do that? Well, this is a great scripture. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4 and 5 says this: "For the weapons of our warfare are not physical, weapons of flesh and blood, but they are mighty before God for the overthrow and destruction of strongholds, inasmuch as we refute arguments and theories and reasonings and every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God, and we lead captive every thought captive to the obedience of Christ." We're in a war, and the battle is playing out in our thoughts. The mind is the battlefield between our ears. That's where the battle is won or lost. It's a real war, but it's not physical. It's what they call spiritual warfare. We're warring with our thoughts all the time. And we have to do the fighting. God can't do it for us. He's given us the weapons. The word of God is the weapon. So he's given us the word of God to speak out over that situation. But we're the ones that have to do it. Because verse 5 says, we refute the arguments. All the thoughts that are going round in our head, he said and she said and all the imaginations, we are the ones that need to refute them. Now that word refute means prove them wrong, false, deny them, reject them, demolish them. We're the ones that are meant to do that. We're meant to demolish them. So are you doing that? Are you demolishing the negative attack that comes into your mind? Or are you just meeting a friend for coffee and going blah and just speaking it all out all over again? Then it says, we lead every thought captive. Only you can capture your thoughts. I'm the only one that can capture my thoughts and say, wait a minute, I don't want to think that anymore. I'm not going to think on the negative report. I'm going to think on the good report. A friend of mine once said to me that she was worried all the time. She couldn't sleep because she was worried. She had no peace. She just worried about her children. She worried about her grandchildren. These thoughts went through her head even more so when she tried to lay her head on the pillow, you know, because there's no distractions. The TV's not on, and she just worried. She hadn't captured her thoughts. Her thoughts were capturing her, and she could barely function. You must capture every thought so you're in control of it. Cast down any imaginations that rise up against the truth of God. So this week when Neil prayed for me, I had those imaginations, you know, the what ifs. What if that had happened? What if that wasn't in place? All these what ifs, but they're just imaginations. They weren't true. And I had to squash them and say, that's it, done. I'm not having them anymore. I'm focusing on the good report. You need to focus on what's good about you. You're not useless. You're not worthless. So stop thinking that you are. If God wouldn't think it, then you shouldn't think it. If God wouldn't say it, then we shouldn't say it. Our thoughts should line up with what God says in his word. And to find out what he says, we need to actually open the word and read it and start to speak that over our lives until we believe it. I had to go to sleep that night going, I've had a good report. I'm focusing on the good report. My family members had a good report, and it's fantastic. Thank you, Lord, for the good report. And I just said that over and over in my head until I was able to fall asleep. Folks, it's time to bring down the strongholds in our minds. When we finish with Isaiah 55 and verse 8, where it says this: "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." You know, if we think that God thinks the same way as us, then that's a big mistake. Okay? So here's an example of how we might think. They annoy me. How dare they say that to me? I'm never speaking to them again. That's how human beings think. That's how we think. Anybody recognize any of those phrases, you know? We've all thought something like that over the years. But here's how God thinks. He thinks like this: I love you. I forgive you. Child, you are mine. Can we see that his thoughts are just a tad higher than ours? And so if we can get God's thoughts in our mind, our whole life will be lifted higher. His thoughts are just so much better. I remember a few years ago, someone speaking bad words to me, like giving me a bad report. I don't mean a medical report, just being nasty, basically. Just saying not nice things to me. And I went away and all these not nice things were in my head and mulling them over and everything. And I just felt God saying to me, these are not my thoughts. I am not thinking that of you. We need to know what God's thoughts are. It's time to get our thoughts higher and get them up to where God's thoughts are. And when you change your thoughts, you're on the way to changing your life. Our thoughts should lead us to whatever's true and noble and just and pure and lovely and a good report. If we fix our mind on these things, we might finally discover who we are. Thank you. Just going to ask the worship team.